This is Unhurried, and I'm your host, Doug Kyle. You know, life can feel like a race, rushing to the next thing, never time to reflect. But there is incredible value in slowing down with God to take in His perspective, His presence, His pace. Comparing ourselves to others is a flaw that we often overlook. We discount it. We write it off. We treat it as sort of an acceptable sin. To compare ourselves with other people is a very human tendency. We measure ourselves against others. Maybe we look at a person's qualities, their possessions, their advantages, or their achievements, the opportunities that they have, and we compare ourselves with them. Today, I want to talk about six ways that comparing ourselves to others hurts us. This is episode 31 of the first season of Unhurried. I'm your host, Doug Kyle. Glad that you found us. Glad that you're with us today. This week, our topic is really part of a larger series that we're doing with this podcast, looking at the parables of Jesus. We've called it Illustrated by Jesus, and we're looking at those parables that he told in the book of Matthew and unpacking them together. This week I made a huge blunder on Sunday morning when I was speaking about the parables. Instead of saying parable, at one point I said terrible. I don't know how that came out. I actually had to stop right there in the middle of the message because it was such a big blunder. That's sort of like if God is not compassionate, if he's not a compassionate God, that's the kind of thing you get struck by lightning for in church, calling the parable a terrible. Then right after I said that, and I made a big deal about that, I also was talking about grace and mercy, and for some reason I didn't finish it. I just said grace and mercy, but I didn't have the nerve to correct myself because I had already made another blunder, and I just go, I'm just going to press through and hope nobody heard that I didn't finish that up. Grace and mercy. I'm hoping that everybody gives me grace and mercy, or grace and mercy in this case, when I call a parable terrible. Well, what I want to do is I want to take a deeper dive into that parable that we talked about on Sunday morning, and I want to talk about six ways that comparing ourselves to others actually hurts us. Now, advertisers have known that we are prone to comparing ourselves with others. They've known this for a long time, and so they always, try to sell their products based on that premise. Here's what you don't have that you need. Here's what somebody else really cool has that if you had it, you would be cool as well. But it's worse these days than ever with our phones and the screens having, they've tapped into what our interests are and advertisers feed into that. It's constantly in front of us, not to mention social media, which also fuels our need for comparison and this tendency to compare ourselves with one another. So I'd like to take this a little deeper. I want to explore the idea that when we compare ourselves to others, it really is detrimental to ourselves. It's something that hurts us. I think I would have underscored that more on Sunday morning now that I've thought about it. This idea that rather than seeing it, as I said at the top of the podcast, as just a flaw that's easy to overlook, to realize it is really something that is harmful to us. So I want to explore that, unpack that a little bit, and then also the flip side of that. What would happen if we allowed God to really set us free from this need to compare ourselves with others? How would that change our lives? How would life be different? What if we were able to really enjoy a life without comparing ourselves or having a reference point to other people, but rather our reference primarily being to God and who He created us to be? Wouldn't that be exciting? The parable that we covered is a compelling story from Jesus. It's a story that really highlights this natural tendency to compare ourselves with others. It's in the work arena, which is where we can so easily do it. The story that Jesus tells is the story of a vine owner, a vineyard owner that had a lot of extra work. A busy time of the year, he went out and hired workers for the day. Starting at the break of dawn, he brought workers in and agreed to pay them a denarius, which back then would have been the equivalent of a day's work. But because the task was so demanding, he then went out through several times during the day and hired more workers. In fact, he even hired a group of workers at 5 p.m. who only worked the final hour of the day from 5 until 6. The story is something that everybody back then would have been familiar with. They would have seen this as just kind of business as usual, the kind of stuff that happened. But the story gets interesting when Jesus talks about them getting paid at the end of the day. Those who were hired last got paid first. The 5 o'clock workers who'd only worked an hour got paid a denarius. Now, the early morning workers who had been there all day now were envious. They begrudged the fact that these other workers got paid exactly the same as the owner of the vineyard agreed to pay them. In fact, he did, in fact, pay them a denarius, those day-long workers, the same as the hour-long workers got. And this made them envious. This made them compare what they got paid to these others. And, if they had known about the other workers, they would have gone on and feel like, well, I did a day's work, I got a day's wage. But now, because they knew about these other ones, they compared themselves to them. As Jesus tells the parable, he puts these words in the mouths of the workers who had worked all day long in the heat of the day. They say, I can't believe that those who were hired last only worked 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work in the heat of the day. Matthew 20:12. And I think what they say is so revealing. You have made them equal to us. And that's the natural tendency when we compare ourselves with others and the information that we have about others. Somehow we see that information as a reflection on us. It isn't, but that's always how we take it. It was the vineyard's owner's desire to pay the first workers 1 denarius a day while giving the last wave of workers a much higher rate. That was his prerogative. That was his choice. In fact, the parable ends with the owner saying this individually to each of the grumbling workers who had been there all day. He said, "Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? And are you envious because I am generous? Are you envious because I'm generous?" And what's interesting is that's how the parable ends. It culminates with a question that isn't answered, because in the end, it's not a question for the workers. It's not a question for those who were there that day. In the end, it's a question for us. Are we envious because God is generous with other people? And doesn't he have the right to do what he wants? So that's the parable. And it really highlights this very human tendency to compare ourselves with others in a way that makes us discontent, makes us unhappy, makes us envious of what's going on with them. And I suppose we can all kind of relate to that. There certainly are people in our lives, situations in our life, when we know information about them, their situation, their pay, their opportunities, their promotions, their vacations, their relationships, their kids, their grandkids. We know about their situation, and it breeds discontent in us. It makes us envious. But what's really interesting to me about this parable is that comparison works both ways. It's not just when we encounter people that have things that we wish we had that we don't. It also works the other way when we compare ourselves with those that don't have as much as we have, don't have the opportunities that we have, don't have the blessings that we have. We compare ourselves and we actually feel prideful, or we feel better than them. It works both ways. And the reason I say that that is also in Jesus' mind here when he gives this parable is because the context that this parable comes to us is when Peter says to Jesus, "What about us? we've given up everything to follow you. He said that noticing that this rich young ruler that Jesus had just had an encounter with walked away sad because he couldn't give up everything to follow Jesus. Peter then looks at his situation and says, I've done better than that. We, your disciples, have done better than that. What about us? Peter was comparing himself with the rich young ruler, and he made him feel better about himself. But comparison either way, whether we're looking at those that have things that we wish we had and we don't, or whether we're looking at people that face experiences or situations or just their lot in life is in our estimation not as good as we have it. Either way we compare ourselves, it ends up being detrimental to us. So let me give you those six ways that comparing ourselves to others hurts us. And again, this is true if we're comparing ourselves because they have what we want, or if we're comparing ourselves because what they have, we feel like we have it better. We're better off. The six things that happen are this. First of all, when we compare ourselves to others, it breeds discontentment. It breeds discontentment. We get resentful and we have this inner agitation that stirs within us. We were fine until we knew that information, but suddenly now we're discontent. It's very interesting, the parable that Jesus told these early morning workers. I believe they would have been just fine if they didn't know what the late afternoon workers got. But as soon as they knew that information, they were outraged. Suddenly, that comparison brought this discontentment. The second thing that comparing ourselves to others does, the way it hurts us, is it fuels pride. It fuels pride. Again, if we're comparing ourselves to someone who has it worse off than us, we sort of feel prideful. There's a very natural human tendency to feel like we get what we deserve. And if we have these blessings, these advantages over them, we feel like, well, I kind of deserve that. And it fuels pride in us as well. Again, a pride that ends up hurting us. Thirdly, when we compare ourselves with others, it suffocates joy. It takes the joy away from us. Instead of rejoicing in what's happening in other people's lives, we can no longer really share in that joy, because even though they're in a good situation, a happy situation, we can't really enter into that because we see it as something that's a reflection on us, and suddenly we're focused on what we don't have rather than what they do. Fourthly, it squelches compassion. If we are comparing ourselves with someone who has less than us, who maybe has some misfortune that we have somehow skipped or avoided, we somehow feel like, well, maybe they deserve it, and we don't. And so we no longer have the kind of compassion on them because we see them as sort of deserving of what they got. Fifth, it stifles spiritual growth. This is a really important one, and it's one that's often overlooked. When we compare ourselves to others, it stifles our spiritual growth. It's been said, don't compare yourself with other people. Compare yourself with who you were yesterday. But when we're always looking at others, we don't really look at our own life and our own situation. Instead, we're either worse off or better off than others, which is an inaccurate gauge. Instead, we should be looking at our own development and the kind of progress that God wants us to be making on His journey for us. Finally, the sixth way that it hurts us is it dilutes uniqueness. We are no longer looking at our lives as someone with a unique call and journey that God has us on. Instead, we are comparing ourselves with others and wanting to be more like them or wanting to be less like them. Either way, we're not thinking about our own unique walk with the Lord and what He has for us. We kind of talked about this a little bit in the message on Sunday when at the end of Peter's life, he was still struggling with this idea of comparison. And Jesus reveals to him, now Jesus has risen from the dead. It's one of His last encounters with Peter, and He reveals to Peter that at the end of his life, that he was going to be martyred for his faith. At that moment, Peter looks over at John, who was nearby, the Apostle John, and he says, Jesus, what about him? What's going to happen to him? And Jesus' response is, if I want him to hang around until I return, what is that to you? You, Peter, you must follow me. And the idea there is that Peter, don't worry about what I'm doing in someone else's life. Worry about what I'm doing in your life. Focus on that. That should be where your attention is. I have a unique calling and a unique plan and purpose just for you. And when we spend all our time comparing ourselves with others, we miss out on the uniqueness of our own relationship and journey with God. So what is the remedy to all this? How do we find the freedom that comes from not having to compare ourselves with others? Well, in the message I mentioned in the parable itself, it reveals three aspects of God that I think are critical for us to understand. That first of all, God is fair, that he is going to be fair with us ultimately. This life isn't fair, but God is. And knowing that he is going to be fair and just with every person ultimately in life, we don't see it now because we only see part of the picture. But when everything is said and done, and when we're looking at things from heaven's balcony, we will see that God has been just and fair, more than that, merciful with people. But secondly, it tells us that God is personal. And I love this aspect of it. I think it's something that's often overlooked in this parable, that God deals with each worker differently. And in this case, the parable, you know, imagines God like the business owner, the landowner, who is treating his employees uniquely. In the same way, God treats each one of us uniquely and personally. He has a different plan for each person. And we need to be comfortable with that because he's the one that designed us. He knows our capacity. He knows our potential. He knows the purposes that he has for our lives, and he deals with each one personally. And finally, the parable ends with this zinger. You know, when he asks the early morning workers, he asks them, are you envious because I am generous? And yet that's a very characteristic of God. God is generous. He is generous with every one of us. He is generous with his people especially. And to realize that when we focus on that, we focus on what he has done in our lives and what he has blessed us with, as well as we lean hard into the fact that he's going to continue to bless us and give to us because that's his nature. That's who he is. He is a generous God. And knowing that, we can now live with that God is fair and personal and generous, and not let that get a distorted view of him and a distorted view of the his plan for us because we haven't really leaned hard into who he is and what his character is. So let's turn this around. Imagine what life would be like if we were free of comparing ourselves with one another. What would happen if we allowed God to truly set us free from this need to measure ourselves against those around us? What if our only reference point was him and what he was doing in our lives? Well, instead of six ways that it would hurt us, there would be six ways that we would benefit from that kind of lifestyle. First of all, we would experience a much deeper contentment. We would be able to be comfortable with what he's doing in our lives, what he's done. We would focus on what we have rather than what we don't have if we were able to release comparison. Secondly, we would be humble. We wouldn't err on the side of being prideful when we look at those that have a worse lot in life than we do. It wouldn't make us prideful because we'd be humble. We would realize that all that we have comes from God, and he is really the one that's in charge of our lives anyway. It would lead to a humility. More than that, and I love this, we would have a freedom to rejoice with those who rejoice. You know, the Bible says, it says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. We could rejoice with those who rejoice. I can only imagine what it would have been like if those first workers in the parable would have heard about the 5 o'clock workers getting a full denarius, a whole day's wage for 1 hour of work, and just to be able to go, wow, that is so great. I love it. You guys are so fortunate. I'm happy for you. I rejoice with you. To be a look at life, those around us as realizing is their blessings are exactly that, their blessings, and we can enjoy it. We can rejoice with that. Fourthly, it would give us the ability to truly weep with those who weep. When we see those who are more unfortunate than we are, that face suffering or pain or hardships or struggles or loss in their life, instead of seeing that as a reflection on us and maybe feeling prideful or hope it doesn't happen to us and distance ourselves from them, or they somehow deserve it but we don't, instead of going down that route, we can realize that God is personal with each person. Their paths are different. And we can truly be compassionate with them. We can pour our compassion and mercy into them because we realize it's not a reflection on us. It's an opportunity for us to really enter into their situation and show them mercy and grace. Fifthly, we would truly begin to grow because no longer are we trying to keep up with someone else or, you know, match someone else, their situation, or keep ahead of someone else, or avoid their situation. We would really truly be on that personal path. The only one we'd compare ourselves with is us and God's plan and purpose for us, and continue to be progressing and realize instead of putting these artificial milestones in front of us that we have to reach for, we're really reaching for what God has for us. We would be growing. And finally, and I love this, we would be uniquely us. We would be uniquely the person that God wants us to be. We would no longer be, you know, the old phrase, keeping up with the Joneses. We would no longer be trying to be like someone else. We would be like ourselves. We'd be the person that we were meant to be. Christ in you, the hope of glory, that is the person that you were meant to be. We see this kind of principle played out in a little different way in the book of Romans. In Romans 12:3, it says this, "For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you." It goes on to say, "For just as each of us has one body with many members, and those members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us." And there's sort of this sense of humility in that sense in which we're all distinct with a personal plan for each one. We're not meant to compare ourselves, but we're meant to complement one another, realizing that as different, unique individuals, we come together in community and contribute to the betterment of one another. And we're able to do that if we fully understand who we are rather than trying to be like someone else, trying to be to match what someone else has or to avoid what they don't have. If we could allow God to set us free from comparison living, comparing ourselves to others, it would have so much benefit in our lives. Well, I hope that's a helpful way to think about comparing ourselves, to realize how detrimental it can be, and also to realize what a benefit it can be to us if we allow God to set us free from this very natural tendency to compare ourselves with other people around us. Hey, we're going to do something fun on September 7th, 2024. I'd like to record this podcast with a live audience. Would you like to be there with me in the studio? If so, I think it's going to be fun, interactive. You don't have to say anything if you don't want to, but there will be an opportunity for you to do so if you would like to. Again, it's Saturday, September 7th, 2024. If that date is still in front of us when you're listening to this, send me an email at unhurriedpodcast@gmail.com, and I'll send you all the information that you need to know. And again, I hope you can join us. I think it'll be fun. I think it'll be interesting, a little different than what we normally do here. Well, until next time, this has been Unhurried with me, your host, Doug Kyle. I look forward to talking to you soon.